Friends, welcome to St. David's Cathedral. It's wonderful to have you join us as we gather around our Lord's Word and around His throne of grace from wherever in the state or indeed the world you are joining us from. My name is Richard Humphrey. I'm the Dean here, and helping with the service today is Katrina Johnson, our student minister. Bishop Mervyn Stanton, retired, will do our readings, and Reverend David Bly and Regina Atkins from the parish of Ulverston will lead our prayers. You can download the text of the service from the diocesan website, and a particular welcome to those who are joining us on the phone. We're in the Nixon Chapel today under the stained glass window depicting the resurrection of Jesus, and it is in the presence of the risen Lord that we gather. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He laid down his life for us, but now Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Friends in Christ, we come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building up of His church. We will lift our hearts in thanks and praise, hear from God's holy word, and pray for this world and for ourselves. The Bible tells us to approach God confidently through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we do so, we must confess our sins, seeking forgiveness through God's boundless goodness and mercy. The risen Jesus said the scriptures had been fulfilled in his suffering and resurrection, and now repentance and forgiveness was to be announced in his name to all nations in the power of the Spirit. So let us draw near to God with sincerity and confidence and pray together. God of all mercy, we humbly admit that we need your help. We have wandered from your way. We have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and have failed to do what is right. You alone can save us. Have mercy on us. Wipe out our sins and teach us to forgive others. Bring forth in us the fruit of your Spirit, that we may live the new life to your glory. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. God desires that none should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. In response to his call, we acknowledge our sins. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. From Romans, we hear neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Grace and peace be with you. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Shout to the rock of our salvation. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his face with songs of joy. As we come to hear the Bible read, Heavenly Father, give us wisdom and understanding. As we listen to your word, may we know you better, love you more, and learn to please you in all we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is taken from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in stone, in Zion, a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then, who believe, he is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The second lesson is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Hear the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our teacher, your spirit our guide, and your greater glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So what do you do? This can be a dreaded question in social settings when people don't know my profession. In many situations, saying, "Well, actually, I'm an Anglican priest," rather changes the mood. You should try it sometime. Usually people look a little guilty and try to change the subject. But today I'd like to ask you that question. So what do you do? Not in general, but in relation to the church. You might like to think of your answer. Perhaps attender, Bible study leader, brass cleaner, or these days, video editor. There are a variety of job descriptions. In our reading today from 1 Peter, we are given what our job description should be. Peter says to us, his readers and to us, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." Giving that as an answer would bring most conversations to a halt. As we seek to understand this flurry of images, we will see that this passage pictures us as babies, building blocks, and ultimately ambassadors. Firstly, we are to picture ourselves as babies. Peter says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. Here is an immediate challenge to all of us. However spiritually mature we are, we need to grow into salvation, into God's coming kingdom. Do you think about growing in your faith, or do you think you've arrived? This challenge is underscored with the idea of thinking of ourselves as newborn infants. It is, of course, a beautiful image of nurture, but it's also a challenging one of need. The infant needs milk. We will not grow if we do not recognize our need. If we are to grow, we need then to be humble. But we may also need to do a spiritual inventory, putting off unhelpful attitudes and actions. We do this remembering that the Lord is good, or it could be translated kind. If our taste buds are soured by malice and envy, we will not truly taste the goodness of the Lord. But what is this pure spiritual milk? Some translations do the work for us, translating this as the pure milk of the word, the pure milk being equated with Scripture. Now, it is, of course, good for us to come to God's word, the Bible, but we can push this a little further. When Peter says, "If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good," he is quoting Psalm 34:8, which speaks of tasting of the God of Israel. But as we read on in 1 Peter, he continues, "Come to him a living stone," clearly now thinking of Jesus. So Peter, as he says, "Taste that the Lord is good," is doing something quite astounding. He is now thinking of the Lord no longer as simply the God of Israel, but in terms of Jesus. We see a similar pattern in the quotes from Scripture which follow. Peter is rethinking the whole story of the Old Testament, of God's dealing with his people, his purposes for creation, in terms of Jesus. So the pure spiritual milk is not simply the Bible. It is God's word read through the lens of the resurrected Jesus, having fully tasted of God's kindness and goodness and mercy in the gospel of Christ. Indeed, the word here for kindness is Christos, which certainly sounds a lot like Christos. So, what do you do? What are you doing to grow? I hope this gives you a taste and you will long for this pure spiritual milk so that you can truly grow. In a startling mixed metaphor, Peter then moves from a cradle to a construction site and to the rather puzzling image of a living stone. But in this picture, we see something of what growing into our salvation means. Peter is using an image that Jesus used of himself as the cornerstone despite being rejected. Jesus is now vindicated as chosen and precious in God's sight through the resurrection, hence he is a living stone. And we come to him also now living stones, having been given new birth through the resurrection, and, as will become clear, also chosen and precious. In so doing, we are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I'm in a building which is full of stone. It is a thing of great beauty, set apart for the worship of God. Yet the building that God truly wants is of living stones, you and me and all believers offering spiritual sacrifices. The truly beautiful thing in God's eyes is not a cathedral, but a community of faith doing his work. Also, unlike this building which is currently closed, this building that God is building is always open. All are welcome to all who will come to Jesus, the foundation. And in so doing, they become part of God's great building program. This image is powerful. It reminds us that growing into salvation is not an individual thing. It is into being part of a community. So while it is good to be able to use this technology to speak to you now, we long to be able to gather again, wherever it may be, cathedral or community centre, hall or home. Peter is well aware that while all are welcome, not all will want to enter such a spiritual house. They will reject it and scoff at it. You can imagine the original readers may have felt vulnerable as they had no temple, no other trappings of religion, and would have been mocked by others in their community. Peter uses scriptural references to remind his readers of the biblical pattern of rejection followed by God's vindication. It is one that Jesus experiences and his readers will share. But their vindication is sure. Note, whoever believes in him will never be put to shame. The readers are truly chosen and precious. I think this raises an important question for us. Do we have as high a view of the church as this passage does? Yes, the church, both as an institution and as individual congregations, have failed in many ways. But we should not give up on the church. God hasn't. It remains central to his purpose. And the church is, and we are, chosen and precious. Does that challenge your thinking about church? You and your fellow believers are chosen and precious. Do you treat them that way? The scriptural references also clearly show that the ultimate stumbling block is Jesus himself. His very centrality is the controversy. Here is another challenge. As we think about our churches, we need to understand that the ultimate stumbling block to faith is Jesus himself, accepting him as Lord. Our churches need to be clear about who Jesus is, the foundation, the cornerstone. On February the 19th, 1817, the foundation stone of the first St. David's was laid on this site on that day. The Reverend Robert Notwood said at that day, "We shall consider Christ. His doctrines are the foundation of our faith. His life is the foundation of our practice. His promise is the foundation of our hope." Long may that be true for this cathedral and all our churches. But we also need to make sure there are no other stumbling blocks put in the way, either through bad practice, remember the comments about malice and slander earlier, or confused or wrong messaging. So, what do you do? Or perhaps better, what do we do? Are we letting ourselves being built into such a spiritual house, with our lives and communities based on Jesus, the one true foundation? If the church is not founded on Jesus and growing to be like Jesus, it is not a church. On this basis, as those growing into salvation, living stones being built into God's spiritual house, we get our job description in verse 9. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Peter piles image upon image of God's people in the Old Testament to now describe believers in Jesus. To these scattered, socially lowly people, this is an almost incomprehensible change of position from the gutter to God's people, a privilege we now share. Some of the language may be difficult for us to grasp or seem a bit religious. Perhaps the idea of an ambassador might help. An ambassador represents and communicates those things that are important to the home nation to the peoples which they are sent. And they live in that nation, representing their home nation in all that they do, and to speak well of their homeland. We as the church are God's ambassadors, his representatives to this world, a nation of priests. This also helps us to grasp what an extraordinary honour and privilege God has given us. But there is not just privilege, there is proclamation of God's mighty acts. In these two verses, verses 9 and 10, we get a great reminder of some of them, all with Old Testament echoes. God has called us out of darkness into light. He has made us from not being his people to his people. He has given us mercy. Our wonder at these things should lead us to praise his name. The seriousness of not having these things, darkness, separated from God, not receiving mercy, should lead us to proclaim them to all. What is this proclamation? What has been previously described as a spiritual sacrifice? In reading 1 Peter, it is the whole of our lives as individuals and as a community. It is similar to the idea of the living sacrifice from Romans 12. But we are also to be ready to give a reason for our hopeful and different lives. So in word and deed, we proclaim God's gospel of Jesus Christ. So what do you do? Now I can be fairly sure that there will be some here who will be letting this slide by them, thinking this is for someone else who is watching, for those who are younger or older, or those who know more, those with a stronger faith, those with greater gifts. But did you notice how that no such option is given in the passage? Peter does not say, "Some of you are a royal priesthood," or "a good number of you might be a holy nation." It is something that is true for all Christians, all who are in God's light, now part of his people and have been shown his mercy. If that applies to you, if you know his salvation, then this is your job and my job. If you are older, you may be able to demonstrate Christian hope more clearly than for those for whom death seems a long way off. If you are struggling with the faith, you may be able to show someone that Christians are not know-it-alls who have switched their brains off. Part of the understanding of the priesthood of all believers is that this role of representing God to the world, of being ambassadors, belongs to each and every one of us. Actually, it's stronger than that. For there's one description that I haven't really looked at. It is chosen. We are a chosen people. And this is not a slip of Peter's tongue or even pen. Peter has described his readers as the elect and those called by God. We, you and me, have been chosen by God to fulfill this role. We have been headhunted from darkness to be God's representatives. There is then no way to escape this description. It is what we are to do, to be God's chosen people, brought out of darkness specifically to spread his light in word and deed. We are God's chosen representatives to praise him for his salvation and to live lives that reflect the same hope, ready to share as we have occasion. So what do you do? One of the things we should do is to declare his praises. And we do so reminding ourselves of the church's one foundation, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Christ is made the shore of our nation, Christ the head and honest. Together, let us affirm our faith by saying the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer which Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens.
Let your glory cover the earth.
Keep our nation under your care.
And guide us in justice and truth.
Let your way be known on earth.
Your saving power among all nations.
Send out your light and your truth.
That we may tell of your saving works.
Have mercy on the poor and oppressed.
Hear the cry of those in need.
Hear our prayers, O Lord.
For we put our trust in you.
The Collect of the Day. God of all power, you called from death our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Send us as shepherds to rescue the lost, to heal the injured, and to feed one another with understanding. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let your requests be known unto God. In everything, give thanks.
Our Heavenly Father, you are the one true God, the only Saviour, our only hope. We praise you because even though you are far above us, far beyond us, you are also beside us and you promise to hear us when we pray. Lord God, we come before you as your children, seeking your face and turning from our ways. Show us your ways. Help us to walk out of this crisis into a new way of being, a new way of trusting, a new way of following you. We need you to heal our land and our people, not only where we are, but across the nations. Lord of all, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord God, we thank you for the renewing of our natural world that is occurring while cities have come to a standstill. We praise you for clear skies in India, animals roaming the tourist sites, and sea turtles repopulating the beaches. We pray that you will give wisdom to all the peoples of the earth to tread more lightly on the earth once we are able to leave our homes. Lord of creation, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Heavenly Father, you promise to give wisdom to all who ask for it. We ask on behalf of our world leaders that you might guide them as they make decisions that affect millions of people for years to come. We trust in you, knowing that ultimately you are the one in control and you have it all in hand. May our leaders find this trust in you also and have your peace at this time. In particular, Lord, we ask that those countries relaxing their restrictions would be preserved from new outbreaks of this disease. Lord of the nations, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord God, we pray for your church, that this time of change may draw us nearer to you, to each other, and to our communities. May we not look to return to the old ways, but have eyes to see the new things that you are doing among us. Thank you that in this time you are giving us an opportunity to return to our core purpose of loving you and loving our neighbours as ourselves. May your church become known for its love in this time. May its leaders look to you for their direction and for their refreshment as they navigate this changing environment. Help us find new ways of being a church for Tasmania, making disciples of Jesus, both now and into the future. Lord of your church, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Our Father in heaven, we bring ourselves and those we love before you, especially those who are sick, lonely, bereaved, or struggling in some other way. We take a moment now to bring to you those who are on our heart. We thank you that you have given us all we need for life and godliness. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We especially thank you that there will come a day when there will be no more death or crying or mourning or pain, and we long for that day. Help us as we wait to love one another in action and in truth during this time of physical separation. Lord, as children resume their schooling this week, please provide wisdom and strength to parents who are facing pressures from many sides. May they look to you, trusting that you will provide all their needs. Lord of our hearts and those we love, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Lord, you have given us grace to agree in these our prayers. And you have promised that when two or three ask together in your name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, Lord, our desires and our prayers as may be best for us. Grant us in this life knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life eternal.
Amen.
As our service ends, let us pray. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit that we may give ourselves to your service and live this day in love to one another and to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, thank you for being with us today. If you'd like to know more about Jesus, the Bible, or being part of a church, we'd love to help you. You can make a comment on the video, send us an email, or go to the diocesan website, anglicantas.org.au. There is a diocesan prayer meeting with Bishop Richard by Zoom this afternoon at 4 p.m. Please join in. If you'd like the details, go see the diocesan Facebook page. If you'd like to join us here at the Cathedral for evening prayer live streamed this evening, or for morning prayer and noon prayers during the week, there are details on our website, stdavids.org.au. So what do you do? We pray that you have been encouraged to go deeper into the Bible with Jesus, to be more committed to your community of Jesus' followers and be his ambassadors in all that you do. As you do this, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. In hope, we say, go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.